A Problem Shared with Tony McGinley on Kerry Today.
Yes, Tony McGinley with us on the line. Get your comments and queries in for him or questions in for him. Tony, good morning to you and thanks for joining us again this morning.
And good morning to you, Jerry.
Now, we're going to start with a query in here, and anyone can get your questions or queries in for Tony now. I've lately been diagnosed with an ongoing serious medical condition. My family knows about this, but I haven't told them about my fears and my state of mind. I am awake each night worrying about the illness, but about the changes this is going to make in my life. It's over a month now, and I'm still obsessed with it. Maybe you can offer a few pointers. And the listener said they're not as worried about the illness, but worried about the changes that they're going to make in his life.
Yeah, I spotted that there too. you missed it there in the reading.
Indeed.
Yeah, it very often in that sort of situation, it's what's going to happen in life that worries a person. You know, am I going to be, you know, under care for the rest of my life, or can I manage it myself, and, you know, financial worries, whatever, you know. And it can be really, really destroying, that sort of thinking. And what I would say here is that can be changed. The type of thought can be switched, but it is not like flicking a switch, but it can be changed. And I would say that it's well worth considering going to a counsellor, because somebody who's trained in that sort of stuff can really help you to shift. Now, it takes time and it takes work, but it can be shifted. The other thing is, on a personal basis, finding a future, a viable future for yourself with whatever is affecting you. You know, can you do something? Can you make preparations? And that sort of thing. Working on that is very, very helpful. And, of course, the other thing which always helps whenever there's worry and wakefulness at night and that sort of thing is having something that takes your focus, pastimes, hobbies, art, whatever it is, you know. Really, that sort of having those things will help a heck of a lot. And just talking it out with people, you know, instead of, you know, burying it deep inside in yourself and spending the night worrying about it, you know, whenever you get a chance in a conversation. So I'm kind of worried about the future, and I'm worried how, you know, whatever, bring it up gently, because people don't like being sort of forced into a conversation like that. But if you do it gently, you'll find that very often people will come up with quite pleasant and helpful suggestions for you. So I would say here that it is what you're mentioning there is very fixable. And if you can't do it with friends and relatives, I would suggest that you ask around and find a good counsellor that can help you. And you can work over a few months. It'll take a little time, but it can really, really shift your thinking.
And Tony, it's a question of being awake at night that you're building up the fears, or maybe unfounded fears, about what changes are coming in your own head, that it won't be as bad as you think.
Yeah, that sort of night dreaming or half-dreaming is really, really, if it goes negative, it can really start to pick away at your self-image, your self-respect, and the future. So it's a very important area to tackle. And I would really suggest, as I say, if it is as bad as it sounds in what you read out there, Jerry, I would suggest that you go looking for a counsellor, because there's lots of different counsellors and they cover different things. So you want to find someone with some experience in this sort of area. And if you can be, you know, get someone reasonably close, and so that you can get to them easily, and that's all the better. But it would help a heck of a lot, and that's what I would recommend.
Yeah, keep your comments, views and opinions coming into us on the programme in 0667123666. Just a point, Tony, as well, on our previous query, it just occurred to me there that person, depending on the illness that they have and the changes that illness is, and we don't know what it is, there may well be a support group out there for that particular illness that could give advice and help to the person.
Yeah, and very often you will meet, you know, particularly there's some really good people at the local hospital here in Tralee, and they can offer helpful suggestions as well. I mean, I would take suggestions from wherever they come and then, as it were, sieve through them and pick out the ones that are seem most helpful to you. But, yeah, communicating with people, expressing your fears, very often limits the size of them, because when you have it in your head only, it is much bigger than it seems.
Yeah.
Chatting it out with anybody will help, but if you can chat it out with somebody who has some training and can help you and point you in the right direction and so on, that will be a much, much bigger help.
Okay. All right. Another query in here, Tony. Good friends of ours called recently. They had their pet dog with them. The dog chewed through some electric cables near the TV. Our friends are very apologetic. However, we had to have the replacement cables fitted and it cost us a fair bit. Our friends have made no effort to offer to pay for the damage. How would you suggest we might handle the situation? Tony, this could be widened out for damage caused by children or damage caused because of it. Should you be stumping up and paying for the damage caused by either pets or children under your control?
Yeah, you should be, but very often it doesn't enter a person's mind. I'm not blaming these people, because very often, you know, they're shocked by what happened and they apologise, but it just doesn't register that, you know, this is going to cost money and somebody has to pay for it. I should offer. That sometimes just doesn't happen. Now, if it's a fair bit of money, if it's a couple of hundred or whatever, you know, you might need to recover it. And in that case, I would say, tread very, very carefully.
Because do you ask yourself the question, Tony, is this worth the money that I'd be getting back off the people to pay for my cables? Is it worth damaging the relationship or causing grief, shall we say?
Absolutely. And mention it. But even then, I would say be careful, because literally you're opening a can of worms. it happens to most people, that sort of situation. And unless the cost is fairly substantial and you really need the money, I wouldn't go down that road. That would be my reading. I mean, we all would give friends money if they were in uptight for money or whatever, and think nothing about it. But in a situation like that, you might want to put that category on the expenditure you have made. Is it worth damaging a long-term friendship? And you mentioned good friends. And, you know, if long-term good friends, it would be a shame to knock them out for, you know, a relatively small amount of money. So that would be my take on it. Now, if it happened twice, I you know, you can then question the friendship and what it's worth, you know, whatever about to you. But if not, I would be very, very careful and diplomatic about going in and suggesting that they pay for it.
Okay.
That
would
be my reading.
Final query, Tony, from a listener. My sister is a serious shopaholic. I mean, she's totally addicted. It's gotten worse over the years. She's now in her 50s, can sometimes spend hundreds in a month. Her house is a total mess with stuff everywhere. It's affecting the whole family, especially her husband. Is there any way I can help her?
Again, I would say going into a situation like that is fraught. Because somebody like that has, you know, there's a good reason why somebody becomes obsessive. That's obsessive behavior. And you don't become obsessive and focused like that unless there are factors which drive it. And generally, the kind of factors that might drive that type of behavior is unhappiness, maybe lack of focus in your life. You don't have any all of the you messages, we say, because if you're sort of saying you're doing this, you're doing that, and you should do this, and you should do that, it's all you. And state it. Take the you word out of it, because the minute you say you, you're literally pointing a finger at someone. That's how they will see it anyway.
Yeah, and certainly so is.
So by writing it out sort of carefully and rewriting and even getting two or three people that you can really trust to ask them, you know, how would you take that if that was said, you know, how does that read to you? And that's the only way that you can go at something like that. Now, there could be, of course, if she's a fairly intelligent woman, she will notice her own behavior. And still it will continue, because very often people notice the behaviour, they know why they're doing it, and yet they continue. And in that sort of situation, there's a bit more of a gap, as it were, to get in there and point at the problem, not the person. You know, focus on what's happening, not who's doing it. And, it's a difficult one. Again, it's one I would say be very careful, because...
Very delicately, yeah. That's for sure. Tony, brilliant stuff. Thanks a million for talking to us again this week with a problem shared. That's Tony McGinley with us. He'll be on with us next week as well, next Wednesday.